I'm Jeb Sharp, and this is The World. Rabbi Mark Glickman has gone where few Americans have gone before. 2 months ago, he visited the Cairo Geniza. A geniza is where sacred Jewish documents are stored before they're buried. The Cairo Geniza is special. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish texts were stored there for centuries and were never disposed of. Jewish scholars rediscovered them in the 1890s, and the documents are now in archives in the U.S., Europe, and Israel. But the Geniza chamber itself remains intact, and Rabbi Glickman had wanted to see the Geniza ever since he first learned about it in rabbinical school. 2 months ago, he realized his dream. Rabbi Glickman and his son traveled to Cairo and worked their way to the Ben Ezra Synagogue.
The Geniza is way up high in the synagogue wall. It is above a balcony that overlooks the main floor of the Ben Ezra Synagogue in Cairo. The caretakers there put a ladder up to the entryway. Turns out the ladder wasn't high enough, so they had to get a second one that could reach. And while I was waiting, I remembered that I had a flashlight in my pocket. So I reached into my pocket, I pulled out the flashlight, and I shined it inside. And there I was looking into the Cairo Geniza, the site of the greatest repository of Jewish documents and of medieval and ancient documents of any kind in the world. Now the Cairo Geniza is empty. But looking into that dark room, I was able to imagine page after page after page after page of documents being added over the centuries until there were about 300,000 of them waiting to be brought to the light of day.
And what period are we talking about?
Most of the documents date from the years 969 to 1250. The most recent document in there was placed there in 1899, 2 years after the documents started to be removed from it in great numbers. The earliest document predated the synagogue itself. The Geniza was an attic over the Ben Ezra Synagogue in Cairo, which was built in the 11th century. But the earliest documents were a few centuries older than that, so they had sat somewhere else and were eventually put in the Geniza.
Now, I understand you were the first non-Egyptian to visit the Geniza in a very long time. How long?
Well, the last reported visit of an outsider to the Geniza that I am aware of was of a man who went in 1911. So my son Jacob, who's almost 16, and I were the first outside visitors that I know of in 99 years.
Give us an idea of the range of documents found there and what sort of information they give us.
Well, since there are so many documents that were found in the Geniza, we haven't really had time to study them all. Scholars haven't had time to study them all. But there have been some real highlights. For example, turns out that one of the Dead Sea Scrolls actually made its way into the Cairo Geniza. One of the documents that was found in the Geniza was an old piece of Jewish sheet music. In fact, it is the oldest known piece of Jewish sheet music in the world. There were court documents. There were letters. There were children's school books. There were doodlings. There were medical prescriptions. One of the medical prescriptions called for a medication. The first ingredient was a lame and decrepit female hyena. There were long-lost books of the Bible, biblical-era books that we knew about, but scholars thought they had been lost to history. They found them in the Geniza.
What languages occur in these Geniza documents?
Well, there are lots of languages in the Geniza documents. Many of the documents are in Hebrew. There are some that are in Persian or a Jewish dialect of Persian, Judeo-Persian. There is Ladino, which is Judeo-Spanish. There's even some Yiddish there. But by far, the greatest number of Geniza documents are in Arabic, often in Judeo-Arabic, which is a Jewish dialect of the language. But what we don't realize is that really up until just a few decades ago, the most widely spoken language amongst the Jewish people around the world was Arabic. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews, sometimes, well, millions of Jews used to speak it. And in the Middle Ages, Judeo-Arabic culture was a rich and thriving element of Jewish life. Some of the greatest poets and philosophers in Jewish history wrote in the language, Arabic. So in that sense, I think the Geniza not only gives us a view of the past, but maybe if we can do it right, it can give us a good view of the future. Because here we have Jews and Arabs speaking together and interacting together socially and through their businesses and as friends. And if that happened in the Middle Ages, maybe, just maybe, it can happen again.
Is the Ben Ezra Synagogue in Cairo, where the Geniza was located, still in use?
The Ben Ezra Synagogue is currently a tourist site. Today, Cairo has fewer than 100 Jews, only a couple dozen of whom are involved in Jewish life, and most of them are quite elderly. Most of the Jewish community in Egypt fled during the late 40s and early 50s as life for Jews in Egypt became increasingly difficult. And that's one of the sad parts of the story, is that this once thriving, rich, very populous society is dwindled to just such a small number of Jews who live there today.
Rabbi Mark Glickman, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jeb. It was a delight to speak with you.
Rabbi Mark Glickman of Seattle is writing a book about the Cairo Geniza, and you can see a photo of him on that ladder looking into the Geniza at theworld.org.